Welcome to 68 and 16 Sportscast. This is episode 7. It's July 19th, and I am Justin. I'm here with Brad and Tripp. We are going to be going over the Big 12 today. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How you doing, Tripp?
Doing well.
First return guest we've had, the Rutgers podcast was such a hit, we had to bring you back for a second week. So, got Dr. Jerry Punch back in the house, ready to rock and roll here.
That's right. I'm going to make another fan base really excited here in a few minutes.
Yep, I did have a lot of comments saying that Rutgers stuff was classic, so I've gotten, that was a big hit last week, so we got to keep it up with some good banter this week, see what we can get going in the Big 12. I realized my Big 10 was too vanilla last week. I went bold in the Big 12, so I'm looking forward to sharing some picks with y'all here. I'm sure Tripp will have Kansas winning the Big 12. After that pick is made, then we'll move on to the real picks. So, I guess without further ado, you want to dive in to the Big 12. Justin, do you have anything else to cover before we get going?
Oh, I do not. What have you guys been up to since last week? Anything sports related?
Not a lot. I'm working on my college football preview guide. It's going to be up on the blog here the next few days. We'll start with the Sun Belt, and every day or so I will release another conference from top to bottom with the records in full. So that'll be coming here very shortly for you to look forward to. So
where can we find the blog?
Sportsentiment.com. Sportsentiment.com.
Tripp, what about you? Anything sports related since the last time we talked?
Yeah, getting ready for the British Open starting tonight. So in a friendly competition that doesn't involve money. So I did my picks, and you have to take one player from the top six ranked players in the world, one from the next six, one from the next six, and then you can pick two from basically the remaining world-ranked golfers. And I did it for the U.S. Open and finished about 200th out of 210, so it was a solid finish for me.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I can only go up in the British Open, basically. So I took Sergio, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, Mark Leishman, and Brandon Grace. So you can count on a couple of those guys shooting about 84 tomorrow.
Well, that's no good because I'm in a pool as well, friendly, of course, for no money involved in the British Open. And mine's group play where you got four different groups of four golfers, and we each have to pick somebody different. We just draft off the different groups. And I've got several of those guys as well. I actually have my top four group. I got Jordan Spieth and Sergio, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen, Mark Leishman, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker, Rafael Cabrera Bello, Gary Woodland, and Matt Southgate. So it's a head-to-head pool, so it's like a Ryder Cup style. Whoever shoots better overall 4 days, you win that point, and you got to get the best out of 10. So we'll see how it works. Yep.
That's at Royal Birkdale this year, is that right?
Yep. One of the three hard courses. There's three hard, three medium, and three easy at the British Open. The three hard ones, I think, is Birkdale. It's not the hardest. The hardest is probably Carnoustie when it's playing well. But you got Carnoustie, Turnberry, and Birkdale are the three tough ones. And then it kind of goes downhill from there. But should be some tough golf out there. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather conditions will be nasty, too, and you'll get some good British Open tough, still 8-foot rough in the swamp, you know, where people can't move the ball. That's what the British Open's all about. Bunkers that are 50 feet deep that people can't get out of, so... my favorite golf tournament, actually, is the British Open, so I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, it's definitely up there for me, too. It's too bad that it's the one I always, like, forget that's on.
Yeah, the hours are weird. It starts at 1:30 in the morning, though, which is cool. So if you're an insomniac, you can catch the beginning. And then, you know, it goes on till 4 in the afternoon. I think Golf Channel's got full coverage from 1:30 a.m. to 4 a.m. Yeah. NBC got the British Open, yep. So you're going to get a lot more golf than usual with the British Open. I think this is the first year that NBC's got it, I believe. So
second year.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's always the tournament. I always miss half of it on Sunday because I just get up and don't think about it.
You got to think about it.
And then it hits me and I scramble.
Yep. Well, cool. Well, let's get Well, you know, I got British Open pick real quick to win it. Let's see how we all do.
Man. You guys go ahead. Let me think about it.
I'd go with Jordan Spieth. I think he's due to win one. It's been a while. British Open's kind of grinded out course for him. I think he's going to win the first British Open there this weekend.
I'll take Fowler. I think it's his time finally. He plays well over there. It's a trendy pick every year in the British Open to take him because he plays well in bad weather. But it seems like that the last couple of years, guys that have been the next best player not to win a major have started winning these things. So I'll take Fowler.
I was kind of leaning that way myself. Yeah, I like Fowler.
As usual, I won't get offended. Don't worry about it.
It's about time for him to win a big one.
Yep.
All right, well, let's jump in.
Yep, the Big 12, the conference most people think is not going to get a playoff bid. We'll talk about that as we go, but we will do the same order as before. Alphabetical, starting at the top, the first team in the 10-team Big 12 is the Baylor Bears. I will start with my first pick. I have the Baylor Bears fairly mediocre this year. I've got a 6-6 and a 4-5 record, finishing 7th in the conference and ending up in the Heart of Dallas Bowl playing the UTSA Roadrunners this year as a postseason bid for the Baylor Bears. The wins are going to be Northwestern State, SMU, Rice, Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Wait, I'm looking at the wrong magazine. Sorry. That was last year's schedule. That was last year's Baylor schedule. Before the old deal still out. They would win all those games this year, though, too. But I was like, they play Duke sometime. I don't see the Duke game.
I'm going to have to go back and redo my stuff. I didn't even do 2016.
I've got them losing at Duke third week. Wins over Liberty, UTSA. Get the rematch over UTSA in the bowl game. But they lose at Duke, Oklahoma, at Kansas State, at Oklahoma State. All losses, 4 in a row for them. Beat West Virginia at home. Lose Texas at home, at Kansas, Texas Tech, Iowa State. Wins and then a loss at TCU. I think Matt Rhule's a good coach. It's going to take a while to get going there. The system's entirely different. He didn't have the personnel to run what he likes to with the Temple system right now. So I'm going 6-6. Trip?
I have something similar. I have 7-5, 4-5. I think that they win all of their out-of-conference games. I think the Duke game, as high as I am on Duke, I think it's a bad matchup for Duke. Baylor brings back a fair amount on defense, and they're defense wasn't great last year by any stretch, but Baylor was just out to lunch last year. So, I mean, I think they'll be decent on the defensive side of the ball. That's kind of where Rhule, you know, that's where he does well. I have them winning their first three, then losing to Oklahoma at Kansas State and at Oklahoma State. I have them getting their first conference win against West Virginia.
Yep.
Losing to Texas at home, beating Kansas, Texas Tech, and Iowa State before losing to TCU in the finale.
Exact same record thing, except the Duke game's the only thing we got flipped. So very similar there.
Yep.
Justin, what do you got?
I got them going 5-7, 2-7 in the conference.
Ouch.
So I'm down on them compared to you guys.
And all three wins win at Duke, though, over.
What's that?
You got them beating Duke then.
I got them winning the first three out of conference games. And then in conference, I got them beating Iowa State and at Kansas.
Yeah, those are safe wins. Hope they beat Texas Tech in Arlington.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not convinced the offense is going to be able to play the pro style I think they're kind of moving into.
Yeah, that's the huge difference going from that spread to pro style.
Yeah, so it's going to be more of a ball control approach, you know, keep the defense off the field. I don't think they've got the defense to make this offense work. They can't stop the run very well. I don't think they're going to be able to keep teams from putting up 30, 35 points a game. And I mean, their offense is definitely going to take a step back. I like the running game. Who's the quarterback? Do we know?
Looks
like Zach Smith from what I'm seeing. Solomon's in contention though, right?
Yeah.
They got three guys, I think, that they could
Yeah, I think Solomon fits what Rule wants to do more. But
Solomon may end up being one of the biggest busts in the history of college football. He was so good as a freshman and sophomore, and he's just been so shitty since then. It's kind of unreal. But, yeah, hopefully he gets I would like to see him have a good senior season. I like Baylor, too. I hope they rebound. But it's there's kind of a cloud over that program right now. You know, it kind of – I think it's emanating recruiting, and I think it's affecting their play on and off the field. So it's going to be interesting.
I find them to be a hard university and football team to root for right now. I think it'll change with Rule. I'm with you, Brad. I really like Rule. Love what he did at Temple, and I think he's a really good guy. But that bad taste in my mouth with that school and that team.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
I'm not gonna. Let's move on.
on that note, we'll start with the Iowa State Cyclones. This team was a terrible 3-9 last year, 2-7 in the Big 12 in Matt Campbell's first year. I know you're very high, Mr. Campbell. I like him too. It's just really hard to win at Iowa State. I mean, Paul Rhodes was the motivational speaker of all time, greatest one since Martin Luther King, and he still could only win 3 games there his last few years. So tough place to win. I mean, 3-9 is kind of about right for them this year. I have them going exactly 2-10, actually, one step below the 3-9 mark. Mainly because of schedule. I mean, you got Northern Iowa. I have a loss. I'm sorry. It's a tough team to play. The best team in FCS, week one. You and I gets up for these games so much. They got beat by. I don't see any difference this year. They're going to lose the game. Iowa's better. They're going to lose to Iowa. They beat Akron on the road, get a win. But then you got Texas, Oklahoma, back-to-back losses. Kansas, you're going to win that one at home. And then I got losses the rest of the way. I don't think they beat – and their winnable games are, unfortunately, on the road. You've got – you know, Baylor could be a winnable game if it was at home. West Virginia could be a winnable game if it was at home. Texas Tech was a winnable game at home. They're all on the road, though. As a result, I got 2-10 and 1-8 for them. Justin, what do you got?
I've got them going 5-7 and 3-6 in the conference. So they lose a game to Iowa. I actually got them beating Texas.
Woo! They got a bye week.
That's going to be a shocker there. And then they're going to lose at Oklahoma. They're going to knock off Kansas and Texas Tech, and they'll lose out. Okay. I like the offense. I think it's definitely trended in the right direction. It's kind of like the anti-Baylor going into this year. And they're going to be throwing the ball all over the field. Is it Lazard? I might be butchering that name. Their best receiver is an NFL caliber talent. And they got, I think, 5 of the top 6 receivers back. Running backs can catch the ball. They got a good combo in the backfield with Warren and Montgomery. So, I mean, all the offensive pieces seem to be there. The offensive line is a big question mark, though. They've got to replace almost the entire line, so we'll see how that holds up. Defensively, maybe a different story. They got to stop the run. I think that's probably going to be the key with everybody in this conference, because you're not going to stop the pass. You just got to contain it. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Trip?
I have almost the same as Justin, with the exception I have them up one game. I have them 6-6, 3-6. The same 3 conference wins, Texas, wow. Kansas, and Texas Tech. And I have them winning their 3 out of conference games. I like this Iowa State team. Offensively.
They're beating Iowa, huh?
I do have them beating Iowa.
Okay.
I like Park. I like what I saw out of him last year. He was kind of a backup / role type quarterback for him last year. Came in, played fairly well. Montgomery and Warren, as Justin said, is a good 1-2 punch at running back. Lazard and Deshaunte Jones are good receivers. Offensive line's a little bit of a hole, but they got a transfer from Michigan coming in. The most interesting fact about Iowa State football to me is that their starting quarterback last year is now their starting middle linebacker.
I saw that, That is stunning.
And apparently he's the best linebacker on the team as well.
That's pretty impressive.
So, I think Iowa State gets to a bowl this year. I do have slight man crush on Matt Campbell, so that's probably why. But
we get him 5-7, right? Or you have him 6-6?
I have him 6-6.
Oh, we get all three wins. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I think they catch, even though Texas is off a bye too, Texas has to play USC the week before. So I think a little bit of a hangover from Texas, and I think they can catch him on a Thursday night at Jack Trice Stadium.
Jack Trice special. I don't know, but we'll see. A little higher on them. I want to see a little more of this team than 3-9 before I can buy into them. But you never know. They could be a big step up this year. We'll see. Next team, another doormat perennially in the Big 12. The mighty Kansas Jayhawks. I also have them having a bad year. And Tripp loves – let's see survival stories. That's the theme of Tripp here. Anybody that was 0-12 last year, got BO60 games, they're having a rebound year in Tripp's book. I don't see that with Iowa State or Kansas. I've got them 2-10, 0-9, winning the first two games, losing the next 10. They do return their quarterback. They've got 8 offensive starters, but returning a bunch of bad players is not necessarily a good thing. 106 total offense in Pat in. 106 total offense in the country last year, 109 total defense, just a bad football team. Fact of the day, anybody know the last time Kansas won a game outside of Lawrence, Kansas?
It's been...
It's shocking.
5 years.
What do you think, Tripp?
2006.
In between, y'all.
Never.
2009 at UTEP. Was the last road win of any kind for Kansas. So you're just so far behind the eight ball in that respect. They're just miles behind everybody else. They might be better, but, again, they were better last year than the year before, and, you know, they got 2 wins versus 0. They get 2 wins again, but I just don't see much for improvement. Tripp, what do you got? I'm sure you got them undefeated in the Big 12 at 12-0 and 9-0 in conference.
A great playoff game with Rutgers.
Yeah. Rutgers, Kansas playoff game, baby.
Well, Rutgers was the 1, so you got Kansas into the 4?
I do. Sneaking in.
Sneaking in? Okay.
Sugar there. What do you got? Who you got? What do you got them playing?
What?
You got them in the Rose or the Sugar Bowl? I can get that matchup.
That's got to go Rose.
Sugar, because Rutgers has the geographic, they dictate.
Oh, that's
so that's the 1 and Kansas is the 4?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. I feel it.
Yep.
That caliber matchup, you got to put that in the big game. Yeah. The big daddy.
The primetime spot's the Sugar, though, again. It's the 8:45 game, so I think you roll with the Sugar. Which is a late start for that game, by the way, this year. But
it is late. I saw that. I have a 4-8, 1-8.
Okay. Where are these wins? You got to win at Ohio, so they break the 8-year streak against a team that's one of the top in the MAC, you're telling me?
I do, yes. Okay.
They're 0-2 lifetime against Ohio, losing last year at home by 16 and in 1967 as well, but go ahead.
And then I have them beating Texas Tech at home.
They're 1-17 lifetime versus the Red Raiders.
They are, but... they lost by 1 TCU last year. They lost by 7 to Iowa State last year. They beat Texas. They're going to get a win in the conference, and I think they can beat Ohio on the road.
If they had Iowa State at home, I'd probably pick them to win that game, but they don't. So as a result, 0-9 for me. Justin, what do you got them at?
I got them as the same record that you did. I got them 2-10 overall, 0-9 in conference play. They've got Meacham is the the offensive coordinator at TCU.
Yep.
So I think they're probably a couple years away from starting to really see improvement. Hopefully, I think he probably needs to get his players in there. Running back Herbert, I think he's a smaller guy. He's got good speed. Could hit the home run at times. Receivers are steady. Offensive line is going to need to improve. I think they kind of got the same situation that Iowa State did. Here's an interesting stat, though, for you. Kansas was the last ranked team in punt return yards last year. Any idea how many yards they average per return?
Three.
Trip?
One.
Oh, you guys are giving them too much credit. They went backwards 1.43 yards.
I do see that. I can see that now. Negative 10 yards total return and four fumbles lost on punt returns.
So that's got to improve.
Just take a knee. Course, I mean, that's all you do is take a knee. Yes, take a knee.
Of course, they probably didn't have any punts coming to them. But you got to stop somebody to get a punt return. So
that's pretty terrible. If you go to the fair catch and you still go backwards, it's not good.
I don't see a lot of good this year. Offense has to get better, and I think the coaching staff will eventually get there, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think Bender's a good quarterback, the Washington State transfer, and the problem's going to be I think he needs one more year. I think next year when he's a senior, they might be a little better. Maybe I'll have him winning Iowa State at home next year, but this year I see another 2-10 performance for Beatty, who, I mean, I don't know, he's done better than the last coach, but how many coaches can you fire at Kansas for going 3-9, 2-10 every year? It's just revolving door of terribleness. So we'll see. We're going to move on to the little better football?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Let's hit it.
Yeah. Got three of the worst teams out of the way in the conference. Let's move on to the Kansas State Wildcats, who are always a sleeper in the Big 12. Everybody always likes to put them in the bottom half. They always find a way to the top half. This year they got a lot back. Eight back on offense, including Jesse Ertz, a tough football player at quarterback. Six back on defense. A lot of experience. You know, Snyder's going to have a few JUCOs in there as well. I've got them 8-4 and 5-4, finishing a solid fourth in the conference. Nice two openers against Central Arkansas and Charlotte should be wins. At Vanderbilt, should be an interesting game, actually. Kansas State's 5-2 in road openers and 1-4 in non-conference away games. So that does not support a victory, but it is Vanderbilt. I think they can – it's going to be a close game, but I think they get a victory there. Get the bye week, beat Baylor at home, then lose at Texas, they lose to Oklahoma, they lose at Texas Tech, and they lose at Oklahoma State. So they end up 8-4 and 5-4, solid fourth place in the Big 12. Justin, where do you got the Wildcats?
I've got the exact same record, same games.
Wow.
Same losses. So
that's impressive.
Typical.
Years they finish 9-4. That seems kind of be where they're. Their ceiling is, so I can see them.
Exactly. Same typical offense, right, with Ertz quarterback. They got the stud fullback, good blocking tight ends. I mean, they're just going to try to pound the ball, play clock control, let the defense, get off the field. They got to be able to get the ball down the field with Ertz. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I didn't see anything last year that would lead me to believe that it's going to be any better. If they can do that, though, then maybe there's one or two more games in there. I think they could definitely win.
Yeah. Pringle and Heath are decent receivers. I mean,
I think it's on the quarterback, not necessarily the wide receivers to make it happen.
Yeah. Tripp, what do you got the Wildcats?
10-2, 7-2.
Woo!
Love Bill Snyder.
Is it the purple teams this year? Is that the thing? You got Northwestern, you got Kansas State, you got your Clemson team up there. It's purple mania, huh?
Purple mania. Win three out of conference games. That Vanderbilt game is going to be an absolute snooze fest. I do not advise watching that game. If you care to pick a side in that game, pick a side and don't even check the score. Just That's one you just. Look at the score late in the day. Say, okay, that happened. Beat Baylor. I think they'll beat Baylor. I think they'll win at Texas. We'll get to Texas in a minute.
You got two losses for them already.
Huh?
So you got two Texas losses already.
I do. I think their first loss, I think Kansas State's first loss comes against TCU. I think it's a bad matchup for Kansas State. Then they bounce back.
They beat them 30-6 last year at TCU.
I know they did. Yeah, so a little revenge factor for Gary Patterson there. He'll be hiking up the pants all game. We got Oklahoma homecoming game. And they got absolutely destroyed by Oklahoma the last time this game was in Manhattan. I was in Las Vegas that weekend. I remember watching it, and it was just an absolute joke. I think Kansas State beats them. I think they win that game. They beat Kansas. They beat Texas Tech. They beat West Virginia. Their second loss comes at Oklahoma State, and they finish up beating Iowa State at home in their finale, 10-2, 7-2. I really like the team. Basically what Brad said, bring back a lot on offense. Ertz isn't going to throw it around the field, but he's efficient when he passes the ball, and that's all Snyder's will be looking for. Defense, pretty solid defense. Linebackers probably the weak spot, but they always have good linebackers at Kansas State. Not really worried about that. I think they're a sleeper team to win the Big 12.
Very interesting. It's a bold pick. I mean, I think Snyder always has his team up. It's always the team that can do some serious damage. I don't know if they have the talent. I mean, that's
it reminds me a lot
of offenses that you've got to outsmart because you don't have explosive offense to anybody else. So that's the issue I see them running into in some games. You're gonna get outscored a couple times, I think. So
they remind me a lot of the 2012 Kansas State team.
Yeah, that was a very good team. I think the Big 12 was.
They were not as strong offensively at the time.
Yeah, it was a weaker conference when that happened. I remember that was a pretty down year for the Big 12. And of course, this year could be too. But offensively, you're right. I think it's a different Big 12 for sure.
Yeah, that's a tough offense to run in this conference right now. You're really putting a lot of emphasis on that defense. The whole.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. We'll see. Bold pick, though, by Trips. He's had several. I give him credit for going out of limb here on some of these teams. The Rutgers and Kansas are one thing, but Kansas State's another thing here. So it's another bold pick there. Moving on now. Alphabetically, we're going to hit the O's. And the O's are the interesting thing to talk about here in the Big 12. The defending, two-time defending, Big 12 champion, Oklahoma Sooners, returned Baker Mayfield, Heisman candidate, returned eight other offensive starters. They do lose their power running backs, though, and they also lose receivers in Westbrook and D. Westbrook. They get seven back on defense, though. They lose their leading tackler, so some ups and downs. Most importantly, though, they lose their head coach in Bob Stoops, which I think was probably underrated. He really created a dynasty there. Year in, year out, they were always close, and he got a lot of criticism for not getting him over the top, but he made that program a contender year in, year out. I have them taking a step back slightly this year. I think they'll be really good. Their schedule sets up nicely. I like Lincoln Riley a lot. I think he'll be an excellent coach on the road, but again, this is a big step for him at 34. I got them losing at Ohio State, losing in Stillwater November 4th at OK State, 10-2, 8-1 in conference. Tripp, what do you got the Sooners?
I have them 10-2, 8-1. The loss for me is at Kansas State. So very similar.
Okay.
Agree with what you said. I agree Stoops is a really good coach. I don't think the loss is going to hurt them that much because they basically just promoted Lincoln Riley. His brother's still there as a defensive coordinator. So I think they're going to keep – I can't see him not being involved too. He's definitely hanging around that program, whether he's retired or not. I think that they have a decent chance at running the table in the conference. I just think that the Kansas State game sets up well for Kansas State, catching them off their Red River rivalry game against Texas the week before.
There you go. It's spot on right there. Justin, what do you got?
Brad, I've got the same record that you had, the same losses again, Ohio State and at Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with Tripp about the coaching situation. I don't think it's going to be too impactful. I think they got some questions on offense, though. Beyond, I mean, Mayfield's obviously in the Heisman contention, but Anderson at running back's going to
question mark. Yeah, there's fixing over run. That's a big issue.
And Anderson can't really stay healthy. I think he only had one carry last year. I remember thinking of somebody else, but I know he's had injury issues. If he can stay healthy, he's a good runner. Receivers, I'm not sure what they've got. I don't know if they're quite positive of what they got. They got a good one at tight end and Andrews, and the O-line might be the best in the conference. So between the O-line and the quarterback, they've got a foundation there. I just don't know if the skill players are quite at the level that we're used to seeing at Oklahoma.
I will say, though, if you got a good O-line, you can make an average running back good. And
right.
That's what they can, you know, I think they'll be able to get away with that by the fact that their O-line is so good. I mean, teams won, forget about it, they won 10 in a row. You know, they've got one of the longest winning streaks in the country going into this year. So, again, I almost put them one. I really wanted to put them one, but I don't have them winning the Big 12. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But they're going to be a very good football team, I think.
They might have the best offensive line in the country.
Yeah, they really might.
They got four.
Orlando Brown is unbelievable. Orlando Brown is unbelievable. I mean, he's number one overall pick type left tackle.
Yep. Second team All-American last year. Going to be first team this year probably. He's a great left tackle.
They got to get the place kicking game kind of worked out as well. They didn't make a kick 40 plus last year. It didn't hurt them last year, but that'll eventually catch up to you.
I agree. That will definitely, in a scoring league especially. So, it's going to be interesting. So we all got them about the same. Let's move on to the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Everybody, seven back on offense, but they got the quarterback back in Rudolph. They got the running back in Hill. They've got the both top two receivers back. The defense loses the top 10 tacklers, but the mullet's never been about his defense. He's a man. He's 50 now. And I've got them winning Tulsa, winning South Alabama, winning at Pitt, winning at home against TCU, winning at Texas Tech, winning at Baylor, winning at West Virginia, then losing a trap game at West Virginia, bouncing back, winning at home over Oklahoma, winning in Ames, winning in Kansas State, blowing out Kansas, and getting a four seed into the playoff in a stunning pick. The Oklahoma State Cowboys are your surprise playoff entry for 2017.
So, who do you have them winning the Big 12 title game too?
The Big 12. Oh, yeah. Over Oklahoma, you mean?
No, there's a Big 12 title game this year.
Well, it's the top two teams, right?
Right. So you've got them beating Oklahoma twice.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So 12-1, I guess I should say. 9-0. But
Where's that game held at?
Cowboys Stadium.
Okay, makes sense.
I mean, I think it'll be a good game both times. Just Oklahoma State's got a little more better off foundation offensively. Defensively, they're both going to be shootout games. I think Oklahoma State can put together, win them both, get there. That's my surprise. The schedule sets up nicely. You got all the good teams at home. Road games are tough but winnable. They're kind of middle-road conference teams on the road. Five home games, you know, four road. The mullet's getting wilder and wilder. I got a feeling this team might be the year they finally get over the top, get into that national championship hunt. So that's my surprise pick there. Justin, what do you got the Cowboys?
I've got them at 10-2, 8-1 in conference. I think they lose at Pitt, and I've got them losing at Texas. For the same reason, I think the secondary is going to let them down a couple times throughout the year. And they're basically one of those teams that's going to go out and try to score 50 points a game, you know, just hope the defense can hang on just well enough to get them a win. But I think Texas and Pitt, both those passing games, will be on. Texas quarterback, how do you pronounce his name?
Bouchel?
I always get that wrong. He's really accurate. He's tough. I think he'll be on. He'll play well. And then we talked about Pitt's passing game on the ACC preview. That's one of the, I think, better passing attacks in the country.
So what your final record was for them?
I had them at 10-2, 8-1.
Okay. Do you have them in the Big 12 title game or not?
I do. I got them rematching Oklahoma.
Winning or losing the rematch?
I want to say they lose. Okay. That's going to be – it's tough to beat a team twice.
It is. I agree. It is. I think Oklahoma State will be playing for national title implications, though, where Oklahoma won't. So you can say that's more pressure, but there's also a little more incentive there versus an Oklahoma team that, you know, could be in the New Year's Six anyway, even if they lose that game potentially. So it'll be close.
I don't think that's going to have an impact on it at all. I think Oklahoma will win it just as much, especially if they've already lost to them once. I mean, it's a rivalry game. I don't know why you need any more motivation to play in that game.
Yep. I mean, it's a good point. I think Rudolph might be a better quarterback than Mayfield, though. That's saying a lot. But Rudolph is a very underrated stud quarterback.
He'll be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the size. I think he's a better throw than that.
Oh, yeah. He's like 6'5", like 230, 240. Big arm. Fast. Accurate. Yeah. They got an NFL caliber player on the outside in Washington as well that he's throwing to.
And against this conference's defenses, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable what he puts up this year. He might win the Heisman this year.
Oh, they're going to have a field day.
Oh, yeah. Absolute field day. So.
Running back might be a little bit of an issue, though. Of course, they don't ever run the ball anyway. So.
I mean.
It may not matter.
Hill had over 1,000 yards last year. I mean, that's not a ton, but for Oklahoma State, much of the passing, I mean. I think 5.5 yards a carry will do the trick again this year. I mean, it's enough running game where it takes off, you know, complete one-dimensional offense, which is what they, you know, they can avoid. They've got, you know, three to four top receivers back, the top two. The defense is obviously a question mark and always is, but, you know, they might be able to put something together.
Is Hill 100%, though? I know he had an injury in the spring.
Who you say?
Hill. Is he 100%? Do we know?
I heard he got hurt. I don't know if he's going to start week one or not. I don't think it's a season ending thing, though. I think he'll be there, you know, for most of the year. So we'll see. Trip, what do you got, this Cowboys?
Oklahoma State and Texas were the two most difficult teams for me to pick win losses in this conference. I can see anything from 8-4 to 12-0 for Oklahoma State. I eventually settled on 9-3.
Okay.
I don't trust the defense. Last year, if you look at what they did last year, they should have been 11-0 going into the Oklahoma game. Yep. That Central Michigan game was a joke. They beat Baylor. For fun purposes, had maybe Oklahoma State plus 7, and they lost by 11, and I was very upset that night. But they beat Baylor. They fumbled going into the end zone, I think twice, maybe three times. They're a very good team. Mason Rudolph, I think it's either Rudolph or Luke Falk for the best pure passer in the country this year. That being said, I can't trust the defense. I think they have a very difficult schedule. Underrated out of conference schedule. I think they win all three games. But I think that TCU at home, the first conference game, I think they're going to lose. I think that TCU is going to beat them. I have them beating Texas Tech, beating Baylor. I have them losing at Texas. They don't play well against Texas for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. I had them beating West Virginia. I had them losing Bedlam. I hate that Bedlam is November 4th. I know why they're doing it, to try to get those two teams potentially back into the title game against each other.
Yep.
And I had them winning out. This is a very conservative record for Oklahoma State. Like I said, I could see them running the table. I like them a lot. I do not have them in the Big 12 title game. It would not surprise me to see Brad's projection come true and have them in the playoff, though.
What if they go 12-0, lose the Big 12 title game to Oklahoma? Can they still get in the playoff?
I don't think so.
That depends on where, I guess, where you, how many losses you got. Florida State getting, you know, I got only losing three and still winning the ACC, which, you know, would, I think, open up for that situation. You know, the Big 12 may shoot itself in the foot with the championship game. You know, when they added it, I said, you know, the issue could be you get a team like Oklahoma 2 years ago where they were automatically in the playoff 2 weeks in. Now you got to add extra game to it, and they could definitely lose it. I don't like it because it's a rematch game no matter what. So you got a team that's playing a rematch game, you know, for all its purposes, that could lose against a team it already beat. So it's interesting how it'll work out. I think they win them both, but they definitely could split with Oklahoma. Even if they do, though, if they win the first one, if they lose the first one, win the second one, they're in the playoff. You know, so we'll see. Moving on, I guess. TCU, yep. Horned Frogs.
Yeah.
I like this team a lot. When I first thought actually about this year, I actually liked TCU as one of my top surprise teams in the country. I thought maybe this was the year they win the Big 12. Then I looked at the schedule, and that's what talked me out of it. I mean, they've got everything back in offense, 10 offensive starters back from a team that I had last year as my top surprise team. I had TCU win the Big 12 last year. No one else did. They had a pretty average year. I mean, I'm not going to lie, they didn't come together like I thought they would. They had everybody back this year. I think Kenny Trill finally lives up to his freshman hype and has a good season. The defense is all back. Whenever Patterson has an experienced defense, he always does well. This may be the best defense in the conference this year, in my opinion. The offense is going to be really good. The problem is you got all the big guns on the road. You got OK State on the road. You got Oklahoma on the road. You got K-State on the road. So I've got them losing all three of those games, actually winning at Arkansas, which I think is a very tough game. They lost it last year at home, but they get revenge there. I've got them 9-3 and 6-3. Trip, where do you have the Horned Frogs?
You basically nailed it at the beginning of your
speech
there. I have them winning the Big 12.
You got. I thought you had him a surprise team. The schedule, though, man, you got him winning all those games the road at Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, at Kansas State.
But they don't have any of them sandwiched. They don't have any of them back to back. They get good.
Texas the week before Oklahoma. I mean, that's a tough doubleheader.
I have them losing to Oklahoma.
Okay,
that's my loss. I have them going 11-1, 8-1. That's exactly what I thought too. That's their only stretch where they have two tough games back to back.
Okay. And you got them beating Oklahoma in the title game?
Yes, I have them beating Oklahoma, so getting revenge in the title game. I'm sorry?
It's an interesting pick. I mean, it's just there's a lot of hurdles here. There's more than Oklahoma State has, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with that. I was high on TCU last year as well, and that came back to bite me.
Yeah.
I think this year, though, they do have – I don't want to trust Kenny Hill, but I think that year two for him in the system, he'll turn it around. I really like Hicks at running back, very underrated running back. He's a hard runner, runs well between the tackles, the little guy. Defensively, Patterson's generally going to have a decent defense. He's kind of – regressed a little bit, in my opinion, as a defensive coach, but returns a ton of talent, especially in the back end, which is what you need to win in the Big 12.
You do, absolutely. So
I have them 11-1, 8-1, 12-1 after the conference title game, and that's going to be the team that's going to be sitting there nervous when the playoff selection show comes out, the very last one. It's going to be between.
Screw them in 12. You're going to screw them again?
I don't know if they're necessarily going to screw them. I think it comes down to TCU and USC. And I can't see them leaving USC out of the playoff.
Oh, That'd be brutal. You got Florida State getting in with two losses?
I have Florida State undefeated.
Oh, that's right. You got them beating the New England Patriots, the, you know, the 94 Cowboys, the 85 Bears, 77 Steelers, and everybody else to go undefeated. That's right. So, forgot about
that's
that.
Right. I mean, you nailed it for me, so.
Yep. Yep. Justin, what do you have the Horned Frogs? You as high on them as we are?
No, I'm not. I got them at 7-5 overall, 5-4 in conference.
That could happen, too. I mean,
we're all over the place.
Oh, it could definitely happen.
Definitely happen in this conference. You never know with the Big 12, but what the seeding issues are.
I got them losing at Arkansas.
Tough game.
Tough out-of-conference game. You're going to see a trend. I got them losing at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
I got them losing at Kansas State. I got them losing at Oklahoma. And actually, the game before that to Texas. I think they're going to struggle with teams with good offensive lines. The defensive line's got a huge question mark. Tripp said the back end's real good. I worry that the defensive line just won't be able to get any pressure and that back end will eventually start breaking down, especially against some of these offenses throughout the course of a game. I don't think they're going to hold up too well.
Yep.
And then offensively, I'm not trusting Hill. I know he's a good player. I just think he makes too many boneheaded decisions, turns the ball over too much. I'm not ready to commit yet. I got to see it first. I mean, they would go through stretches last year where they looked great, and then the offense just fell off the mat. Couldn't score, couldn't move the ball. I think that's going to continue a little bit.
Very possible. Well, we're going to move on now to one of the most talked about teams in the country right now, the Texas Longhorns. Everyone's talking about them. They got a lot of talent returning. They got the superstar coach, Tom Herman. Charlie Strong, I think the quote was that they'd get 10 wins, whoever coached this team this year. I don't see them getting 10 wins. I don't think this team is as good as their people say they are. They're talented, but this team, remember, is two games away from losing at Kansas. And I know that Tripp thinks that's a good loss, but that's not a good loss. And I think they're going to be better than last year. They're not going to be 5-7 again, but I've got them 7-5, 5-4, 6 in the Big 12. Wins in the first two games, going to get shelled at USC. They get the bye week, so it gets plenty of time to prep for the Jack Trice. They win the game. They beat Kansas State at home, which is their big home win, but then they lose to the Oklahomas. They lose at TCU. They lose at West Virginia. 7-5, 5-4, an improved team, but people are expecting too much out of Herman. It's because he resurrected Houston instantly and made them national championship contenders. Doesn't mean he's going to do it at Texas. It's a whole different game playing in the Big 12. This team was not good at all last year. In fact, they had losing records the last 3 years. They'll have a winning record this year. They'll be better, but they're not going to be title contenders. Justin, what do you got the Longhorns?
I'm a little higher on them than you. I got them at 10-2.
Woo!
7-2 overall.
You're buying the hype.
I'm buying the hype a little bit. 7-2 in conference play. I think they somehow managed to go into USC and get that win.
Oh my God.
But they're going to pay for it the next week. I got them losing at Iowa State.
Okay.
And then I got Oklahoma beating them as well.
They got a bye week, you know, between those games.
That's all right.
Okay. You got them losing who else?
I got them losing Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Okay.
Two losses total. I think they're going to go as the far as the quarterback can take them. I think he's a good one. He's very accurate. The offense. He's a stud. He's got a lot of potential, a lot of upside. And I think Herman's the right guy to get it out of him. The offensive line's great. Williams might be the best left tackle in the country. So they can get some kind of running game going. The offense, I think it'll grow into something over the course of the year. Defensively, they got 10 starters back. They got to be good against the run. They gave up 300-plus in a few games last year. That can't continue. So, I know it might be a little out there. We'll see what Herman can do, but I got some faith.
Everybody's got a surprise team in the Big 12 there. Do you not have them in the title game then?
No, I got him with 2 losses. I got Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both with 1.
Okay, gotcha. Trip, where do you got the Longhorns?
7-5, 5-4.
Wow, same record as me, same games? Or?
No, I have, well, Maryland and San Jose State wins, loss at USC, loss at Jack Trice.
Okay.
Loss against Kansas State, loss against Oklahoma, 4 in a row. Ouch, Tom Herman.
Yeah.
And at TCU as the 5th loss.
Yeah.
I think Herman's been the beneficiary of unbelievable athletes at the quarterback position.
Yep.
He got the Houston job off of Cardale Jones, basically.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say he lucked into, but very fortunate to have Greg Ward Jr. at quarterback at Houston.
Yep.
Was unbelievably good and much better than that conference. If you look at Herman, he gets his teams up for big games, for sure. He's 6-0 against top 25 as a head coach, but he's 6-4 away from Houston. And he's got some tough road games this year. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if that West Virginia game isn't a loss, too.
I got a loss for him there.
I went back and forth with that game. He's very good at home. He's been beneficiary of a great quarterback. I like Bouchel a lot, too. But Bouchel's a gunslinger. He's not an athlete. He's a tough kid. He can take hits, and he can run a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what he does with this offense, because it's going to be different from what Bouchel is comfortable doing, I think.
Yep.
He went through 3 quarterbacks at Ohio State. Like, I don't know if you can knock him for having Cardale Jones out there.
What is he
supposed to do? They went through 3. He went through the whole depth chart.
I mean, they were all good quarterbacks, though. You act like he made.
Yeah, he had Barrett, who he developed, I guess. You could say Barrett's regressed since Herman left.
Yeah, I'd definitely say that.
He had Braxton Miller, and he had Cardale Jones.
Well, he's got a good one at Texas, too. Like, are you guys going to knock him for having good quarterbacks that were recruited into the school?
No, I'm not going to knock him, but I'm saying that he's had unbelievable athletes at the quarterback position.
I don't know. I think you guys are giving Cardale Jones a little too much credit for being an athlete as well.
Cardale Jones single-handedly almost basically won Ohio State a national title. That guy was trucking people for 3 games.
I mean, he was lumbering around. He could wing it. I don't know if I would call him an unbelievable athlete, though. He's not, running around the NFL tearing it up right now.
Well, he can only throw a 60-yard pass. So yes,
that's his game, yeah. Oh, man. He should have left that year, too. It would have been a much higher draft pick if he left after that year.
So, if Ohio State loses to Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game 3 years ago, is Tom Herman where he is right now?
Probably not.
I mean,
they won a national title. I wouldn't think so.
Right. I mean, yeah.
But
he had
that's not.
He had Cardale Jones. He had the perfect offense at Ohio State for him, and he had Greg Ward at Houston.
Well, he was the offense coordinator, so he's got a hand in the offense. That's right. It's not like the offense was there, and then all of a sudden.
But he didn't. I guess what I'm saying is, he's not responsible for Cardale Jones or Ezekiel Elliott. Or anybody else at Ohio State on offense. He didn't recruit them. He's not responsible for recruiting Greg Ward. He got those players based on other coaches. I'm not saying he can't do well at Texas. I don't think Bouchel fits what he wants to do.
So he's not responsible for any of the Texas players right now either, so maybe he'll do well for a few years.
But he might.
He can move on somewhere else. He's got the game plan right. I see what you're saying.
I think he's a really good coach. I just think he's a little weird, too.
Yeah, no. His recruiting prowess has yet to be tested. He hasn't been anywhere so we can actually see what he can do.
That's true.
That's a fair point.
I do like Orlando, the defensive coordinator. I thought he did a really good job at Houston with... I mean, other than Ed Oliver, a lot of those guys aren't playing on Sunday. I know they had a cornerback that was drafted by the Bengals a couple years ago, but he did a good job. He's a very aggressive defensive coordinator. I want to see how that works in the Big 12. I know they beat Oklahoma last year, so you could say that it's going to work just fine with Texas. But I'm interested to see what Texas does this year. Really am.
That week three game at USC will be a huge game. That's got to be game day for sure that week. That'll be a monster. National championship rematch from the 05. So we'll see what happens there. Final two teams going to hit the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. Now I'll talk about this on this team, in my opinion, except for maybe the end of the Cliff Kingsbury era. Ryan Gosling is going to be out of coaching job, in my opinion, in the year. It's been mediocre for too long. He went 4-8, 7-6, 5-7, and now I've got him going 4-8 again. Arizona State, a win at home, is going to be a tough game, but I think they edge it out. They win at Kansas. They win over Iowa State. They pull off an upset over Kansas State by just outscoring them. They don't win anything else. They lose the other eight. They don't have a, you know, explosive, huge quarterback. Mahomes, the huge loss. You got a question mark at quarterback and Shimanunk. I don't know if I say that right. You lose your top receiver. The defense is always going to be terrible. 128th in the country last year. They're just going to be down. They have a tough schedule as well. I mean, you got the toughest teams on the road, in my opinion. Texas could be a winnable game at home, maybe. It's not. West Virginia could have been a winnable game, but it's on the road. I just see 4-8, 3-6. Tripp, what do you got the Red Raiders?
I'm with you. I think Gosling's on the corner begging for money after this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they went 5-7 with – granted, he was overdrafted, in my opinion, but – top 10 quarterback drafted in the NFL.
Yep.
And they lost a couple other key players. I have them beating Eastern Washington, and then I have them losing every other game.
Oh, man.
I've actually got them losing Eastern Washington, so there you go. I've got them losing the opener to Eastern Washington, so that's funny that we have that. But
I think their ceiling is probably 5 wins, but and their floor is 1, and I have them at their floor. I don't see a lot to like with this team.
Yeah, it's one team that I always like to like every year because the offense is always going to be explosive, but they just never really put it all together. Don't get wins, in my opinion. So, Justin, what do you got the Red Raiders?
I got them at 5-7 overall, 3-6 in the conference. I got them winning their first two games, and then in conference play, Kansas. I got them beating Baylor, and I got them stealing one against Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their skill position players are all back. I think at the quarterback spot, it'll just be typical Texas Tech, and they'll just slide somebody in, and they won't really miss a beat. Defensively, it's a train wreck. You know, the front seven are terrible. Linebackers, I think, have some potential. I don't really see much reason to be optimistic going into this year based off anything from last year. And then one stat on their front seven, they had 14 sacks last year total. 9 were against Kansas and Stephen F. Austin. That's 9 sacks against FCS teams, 5 sacks against FBS teams.
I was going to say, easy on the Jayhawks. They're not that bad.
So that, there's not much. I think I'm probably a little higher on them because they probably won't win that Kansas State game, and I can see them losing to Baylor as well.
Watch out, Eastern Washington. There's always an FCS upset. This could be it. You get the top 4 team in FCS playing a bad major conference team. That's got upset written all over it. September 2nd.
Be impressive. You called it.
Eastern Washington's gonna be up for it. Texas Tech might not be.
That could set the tone for the whole season.
Yep. Ready to move on to the final team?
Let's do it.
The West Virginia Mountaineers Interesting situation the Mountaineers have, coming off a very good season that they finished 10-3 at. They lose a lot, including the superstar quarterback Skylar Howard and the top two receivers. They pick up Will Greer, the Florida transfer, who was a stud at Florida before. He's the one who got the suspension, right? The steroid suspension?
Yep.
So he's back there. I think
let's slow down a little bit. He only played like 5 or 6 games.
He had a good he had a Kenny Trill run there. How about that?
All
right. He had the Kenny Trill SEC.
The superstar that played 6 games.
Yeah, he was good. I think he'll fit in this offense well. I think they'll score points. The problem is everybody scores points here. And, you know, when you've got to outscore everybody every week because your defense is going to be bad. They've only got 3 guys back on a defense that was 74th in the country already. That's not going to be good. Again, they could win some of these games, but I got tough opener against Virginia Tech. I got a loss. Wins over East Carolina, Delaware State, Kansas. Get them to 3-1. Loss at TCU. Win over Texas Tech. Loss at Baylor. I think he's got scored by maybe a touchdown in a 70-63 type game. They beat Oklahoma State. Is that their big win of the year? I'm calling that Oklahoma State's only loss the entire year. West Virginia upset. Then they beat Iowa State. They lose at K-State. Beat Texas. Lose at Oklahoma. 7-5, 5-4. The offense is good enough to get them to a bowl game, but they're not going to be as good as they were last year. Tripp, where do you got the Mountaineers?
I'm a little down on them. I like their offense has potential. I don't know how good it's going to be. I think Will Greer is a little bit more of a question mark than what you're saying. I like Justin Crawford at running back a lot.
Yep.
They have most of their offensive lineback juice that left tackle played a lot. So, and he was out last year or the year before, I think. Wide receivers are always decent at West Virginia. Their defense, though,
so bad.
And their defense was really good last year. I think probably the – I don't have stats. I think probably the best defense in the Big 12 last year, right?
74th total defense. I mean, third in the Big 12, but 74th total overall. I mean, 425.9 yards per game is not a great defense. But
they were good against the teams they were supposed to beat. And against the elite offenses, the defense has struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that defensively, it was either them or Kansas State last year, probably for best defense in the Big 12. And they lost a lot. I went back and forth on the Virginia Tech game. I could see that game going either way. I'm not sold on Virginia Tech this year, but I think Tech has the better defense, is a little bit better in the trenches, so I gave Virginia Tech the win. They'll win their next 3, lose at TCU, beat Texas Tech, beat Iowa State. So I have them at 5-7 and 3-6.
Okay.
No bowl game.
No bowl. I don't think that APR is up there. So
yeah, there's no way of an high APR in West Virginia. There's got to be the lowest APR in the country there at the Mountaineer. Justin, what do you got?
I got them at 7-5, 4-5 in the conference. I think they'll sneak by Virginia Tech in that opener. That's going to be a tight game. And then I got them losing at TCU. And then the back half of the schedule is loaded. So I got them losing to Oklahoma State, K-State, Texas, Oklahoma. I think Tripp had the right word about the offense. There's potential there with the quarterback. The receivers are usually good at West Virginia. Crawford's pretty explosive. He went for 300-plus against Oklahoma at the end of the year. He kind of disappeared at times as well in some of those other games, especially in the bowl game. The defense is going to struggle, I think. The line, they've got one player that's ever started a game. They got, I think, decent size up there, but it's going to take some time to get that defensive line going. And they got no depth at cornerback at all. So as that defensive line is gaining experience and kind of gelling, that the back end is not going to hold up. And this is not the conference that you want to have that combination in.
Yep, no, I think it's a good analysis. Anybody final thoughts on the Big 12? Does anyone else have them getting into the playoff besides me?
I haven't really sat down and like really thought about it. It's like looking at all the conferences as a whole. Man, I'm kind of leaning towards no.
Yeah, I'm saying no. I'm saying TCU finishes fifth in the final college football playoff rankings.
Another screw job for Patterson, huh? It would be a crime against humanity.
When was the first one?
That year that Ohio State I would argue TCU still shouldn't have got in that year. But they should have gone from third to sixth by beating Iowa State by 30 points in that last game of the year.
Should have beat them by 50.
They beat them by 52.
Should have beat them by 60.
Did they beat them by 52? Right? No, is that the big blowout? They blew them out, yeah.
It was 55-3.
Well, to be fair, Iowa State didn't have anything to play for, so it didn't really matter.
The old throwing the towel game.
Yeah.
That was that,
throwing the towel.
We should have docked them. They should have beat them by. We should have docked them more than just three spots. They beat them by 52.
That still is one of the most corrupt decisions in the history of college sports. Is the Ohio State inclusion over TCU and Baylor that year? But
how many did Ohio State beat Wisconsin by? It?
Yeah, same number. How about that Virginia Tech team that year? That that's about the quality of Ohio State team was that. TCU beat by 55 that y'all lost to.
I didn't realize. Did TCU go undefeated that year?
They lost a heartbreaker to the fourth best team in the country, Baylor, on the road.
I like how you frame it.
Yeah, a 61-58 classic where y'all lost a clunker by two scores against one of the worst 6-6 teams.
So what I'm hearing is they both lost to a team that didn't make it into the playoff.
Yeah, Baylor's right? A new sixth game that year. It was in the Independence Bowl. That's the difference between those two losses. But one was at home, one was on the road, too. But anyway, I think the Big 12, again, every year the Big 12 kind of gets knocked on. I think the championship game may come back to haunt them, but I think this is the year that they get back in to the playoff. It's the year that people don't expect the team to get the playoff. They always do. And I think that this year the conference is the Big 12. No one expects to get in. And I think they get in. So as a result, I'm going to have them in this year.
The title game is so weird to me when you play everyone in conference.
No, it is. It's totally unnecessary. I think it's silly. I see why they're doing it to get, you know, exposure. Two best teams playing last game of the year. Get somebody marquee win. But you also give a chance for a revenge loss and knock somebody out of the playoff. So
it just seems so reactionary after like 2 years of.
Yep, it does. And it's not like if they were shut out of the playoff every year, you know, make one sense. But I don't want to get two more teams and make 12. They could have easily made a Big 12.
Well, they tried, right? Haven't they been trying to?
They couldn't agree on them. They couldn't figure out two to agree on. I mean, you pick, you know, BYU and or Boise State and Memphis, and you make a play a 12-team conference. You have two divisions. You play eight games, and you put the two best division winners play each other. You could have easily made it work a number of different ways. They chose not to, though, and just keep the same 10 and make a championship game of nothing, basically. I mean, just a random – like, it's going to be so dead. You got ties for second place, and the winner of a tiebreaker gets in. It's just going to be silly.
What if we just kicked out, like – Baylor and Iowa State, or Texas Tech and Iowa State.
What if the team's got like a three-game lead in conference and they got to play a game against the 6-3 team? They're 9-0, and they could lose the conference championship when they beat this team and everybody else all because of the conference championship game, and that just makes no sense at all. It's nonsensical. It's silly. It's stupid. But we'll see what ends up happening for them. But anyway, well. Ladies and gentlemen, winding down here in the 68-16 sportscast for the week. The next conference we'll do will be the Pac-12. So we will trip. If you want to come back for that one, we're glad to have you back. But yeah, we'll do the Pac-12 next week, and we'll move on from there. Trip, any final thoughts before we get off the air here?
Just Watch out for Kansas State and TCU. That's it.
And Kansas.
And Kansas. Yeah.
And Kansas. Fear the Hawk. Justin, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Texas sneaks into the national title game.
Yeah, don't
you heard
see
it here first.
Don't see it. To play Ohio State, a Tom Herman revenge
the
game?
Tom Herman game. Yes, the national title game.
Tom Herman revenge game. Let me go ahead and say this before we get off the air here. I'm making my bowl picks here. I've got a Stanford versus Michigan Holiday Bowl in a Jim Harbaugh revenge game. So that would be something to behold there December 28th if that happens. But that just randomly happened on my bowl picks that I'm working on for preseason. So.
And where can we get those at?
They're not out there yet, but they'll be out there in about a week and a half on 68 on sportscentiment.com.
I might have to check the Sports Sentiment site out. Sounds pretty good.
There you go. It'll be coming.
There's a lot of good work going on over there.
It always is. Justin, sign us off for the night.
All right, fellas. Episode 7, we are in the books. We'll be back next week? Next Thursday? Is that the plan? Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
For the Pac-12. Brad, thanks for joining. Trip, thanks for joining with us. Hopefully we'll catch you guys again next week. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we hope you enjoy the British Open.